A temporary trade truce with China, markets like it. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The G20 meetings ended with a temporary truce between the U.S. and China on trade. Further U.S. tariffs on China will be postponed for about 90 days. China says it'll buy more U.S. goods. Markets appear to be pretty happy about this. Let's do the numbers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 424 points. That is 1.64%. The S&P 500 is up 1.17%. The NASDAQ is up 1.44%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.02%. We asked our regular contributor, Julia Coronado, about these sharp moves. She's founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. And if you were hoping this bounce would be the beginning of a happier, calmer time on Wall Street, she said, think again.
I mean, I think it's just it's a bit of a relief rally. I wouldn't necessarily put too much weight on the market move today because we are going to see the return of uncertainty eventually as these negotiations unfold. So it's just within the realm of market volatility. It's natural to see some relief because there's some indication that they'll blink when they get close to the precipice. But there's very little concrete signals that we're close to a real resolution. So I would expect the volatility to return at some point.
You say uncertainty is bound to come back. What is the source of that uncertainty?
Well, we didn't actually see any concrete resolution to the sticking points in the negotiations. So ultimately, the two parties have to come back to the table and, you know, try and hammer out those details. So right now, it's just nice, warm emotions with no substance behind it. Ultimately, the underlying conflicts that drive these disagreements are going to come back to the table.
Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thanks so much, Julia.
My pleasure.
Oil prices also spiked overnight. Brent crude is up 4.14%, and that is a matter of supply and demand. Alberta, Canada is cutting production, and Russia and OPEC, the oil cartel, say they will too. But OPEC will soon have one less member coordinating oil output. The Gulf Kingdom of Qatar announced it'll withdraw from the cartel next year to focus on natural gas production. More on that from the BBC's Middle East business reporter, Paul Blake.
They say this is all about their focus on liquefied natural gas, and that's important because Qatar is the world's number one producer of LNG. But I think it's also important to look at some of the other context here. First of all, Qatar produces just under 2% of OPEC's oil. Now, the big geopolitical context, I think, is the way that this is going to be viewed. Qatar says that the decision to pull out of OPEC has nothing to do with geopolitics, and what it means by that is nothing to do with the blockade that Saudi Arabia and other Arab countries have imposed on it since June of 2017. But I think the market will be looking at it in that context and be looking at it as a furthering tension between Qatar and the other countries. You have to remember that Saudi Arabia is the de facto leader of OPEC, and they are also leading this blockade against Qatar.
The BBC's Paul Blake.
Marketplace goes beyond day-to-day business reporting to cover the big picture of the economy. We provide context and depth to connect the news to decisions that we all have to make, and we work very hard every day to ensure that our journalism is accurate and worthy of your trust. We don't do this work alone. We're counting on you to help. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount you choose, and your donation will go twice as far thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate today at marketplace.org.
We mentioned that temporary trade truce between China and the U.S. reached over the weekend. Well, as part of that, China agreed to resume purchases of some U.S. agricultural goods. That may be too late for some farmers. The number of farmers going bankrupt rose every year between 2014 and 2017. Overall, the numbers appear to be coming down this year, but in some parts of the country, farm bankruptcies continue to rise sharply. We reached John Newton, chief economist at the Farm Bureau, to help us understand what's going on. Morning, John.
Good morning.
So these trends that we're seeing in farmer bankruptcies, where are we talking about?
Across portions of the Midwest, in the upper Midwest and dairy country, and in the Northeast, we're actually seeing Chapter 12 bankruptcy filings that are higher than year-ago levels. In portions of the Central Plains, bankruptcies are nearly 50% higher in fiscal year 2018 than what they were last year.
What do you hear from farmers you talk to? How are they doing? What's behind this?
Well, I think one of the challenges that farmers are facing is that commodity prices have been low for 3 or 4 consecutive years. We saw net farm income reached a record high in 2013. But since that point in time, many commodity prices have fallen by as much as 50% when you think about corn, soybeans, milk, for example. So those lower commodity prices ultimately have weakened farm equity and has led many to think about bankruptcy as an option to restructure their debt.
I mean, commodities are priced globally. What's going on globally that's dragging down commodity prices?
One of the factors in recent years was we had record yields in many of the field crops, and that led to lower commodity prices. But then certainly this year, the headwinds we're facing due to many of our largest agricultural trading partners imposing retaliatory tariffs on our commodities, that's depressed prices and created additional headwinds.
How have the trade conflicts affected farmers?
One of the key areas where we can see the impact of these tariffs is in the soybean complex. We've seen exports to China decline by 98% compared to prior year levels.
The Trump administration has proposed payments to help farmers weather this. Have those been successful?
We haven't seen all of those monies be distributed to farmers and ranchers at this point. There's a variety of things they need to do to apply to receive those benefits, but it certainly helps farmers and ranchers who've seen their income decline.
So what are the consequences of this? I mean, does this mean some farmers are going to be selling their ranches and packing up and moving somewhere else?
The bankruptcy provides an opportunity for the farmer to provide a repayment plan on their debt over a 3 to 5 year period. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the farmer is out of business and no longer can tend to animals or raise crops. But certainly it's an alarming situation to continue to monitor.
John Newton is chief economist at the Farm Bureau. Thanks so much for speaking with us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
January soy futures, by the way, up 3% over the weekend. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.